Yesterday, I had the honor of going to the beatification mass of Father Stanley Rother. We were able to take a bus of youth from the parish, and it was a lot of fun. St. Paul today, in our second reading, said, "Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." And I think that really captures the life and death of the martyr, Father Stanley Rother. I'll give a brief introduction if you don't know who this man is. Father Stanley was born in Oglesby, Oklahoma. He grew up on a farm, learning farming techniques, and everyone assumed he would become a farmer, but he decided after high school that he wanted to enter the seminary. So he went off to the seminary, but he still had a great love for manual work and working on things, and so he didn't devote most of his time to his studying, but he was always working on the campus and helping build things and doing different projects, and so his grades suffered. And he didn't really enjoy studying, and so much to the point that he struggled with studies in general, and he really struggled with Latin. He had a very difficult time learning the language of Latin. But, he went through a few years, and the seminary decided to let him go, because he couldn't cut it. His Latin wasn't good enough, his grades in general weren't good enough, so they let him go. But the bishop, seeing potential in Stanley, decided to send him to another seminary. And it took him a while to find one that would accept this guy who couldn't do the studies. But they found a seminary that would accept him. And he went and he was able to finally finish seminary and be ordained a priest. And so he served in Oklahoma for a few years until he decided to sign up for a mission to Guatemala. The Diocese of Oklahoma, it was Diocese of Oklahoma City at Tulsa at that time. They had a mission in Guatemala. So they'd sent some priests there and he decided to sign up and go to serve the people of Guatemala and to bring them the gospel. When he got down there, he found that they don't speak English, they speak Spanish and their own Mayan dialect. But Father Stanley, out of love for the people, devoted himself to actually learn their language, and he learned Spanish, and he learned this unique language that this tribe of Mayans people had, so much so that he became the most fluent in the language of anybody, and then he helped them to translate the New Testament and the lectionary into their language so that they could hear the word of God in their own language to understand it better. So a pretty amazing way that the Lord worked through him. The Holy Spirit worked in this man who couldn't learn Latin, but he was able to learn this native language better than anyone else. And he helped them. He worked. His ability to work and to farm came in very handy, working with the people in Guatemala, teaching them better farming techniques, teaching them better nutrition and different ways, and he helped build a hospital, he built a school, he built a radio station, he built a farmer's co-op to help enhance the lives of these people. And so he devoted himself to these Guatemalan people, and he fell in love with them, and he served them. However, the political climate in Guatemala was on the dive about the whole time he was there, and so as the turmoil began to rise, the government was fighting against guerrilla forces, kind of socialist guerrilla forces that were trying to take over. And the church was getting associated with these guerrilla forces. And so the government started to crack down on the church by persecuting the church, by killing catechists, killing priests. And the situation got really bad to where many priests were being killed. Many people were disappearing if they had any status in the church, if they were catechists or helpers in any way. And finally, to the point where Father Rother, knowing of his danger, he found his name on a death list. Everybody knew his death would be imminent, but he did not flee. He stayed with his people. He did whatever he could to stay alive, but eventually he was found sleeping in his home, and they attacked him and killed him, martyred him in his rectory. That's a simple story. When I was explaining this to some of the school children, I said that thugs broke into the house and attacked Father Rother, but not realizing that thug might be a word that some of the younger students didn't understand. And so one of the kids raised his hand and asked what kind of bugs it was that attacked Father Rother. So I had to explain that they're not the same thing. But so how can this priest and martyr, how can we be inspired and live like Father Rother? Because we live here. We are not in a violent political climate. And, most of us are not priests. However, I think Father Rother can teach us a lot. One, I'd say by his strength of character. As the political climate was deteriorating in Guatemala, he was not intimidated by many of their intimidation factors. He kept on serving his people, knowing the risks, but he served his people despite them. He didn't let it get to him. They were intimidating, and about 300 priests, about half the priests in the country, left out of fear for their lives. But he didn't. He knew that these people needed him, and he wanted to be there to give them hope. So he stayed. And there was a time where the socialist forces came in, the guerrilla, the rebel forces came in to host a demonstration. And so then his town became kind of focused on by the government as a town of opposition. And so the military came in and occupied his town. And so the military leader came in. He gathered all of the town leaders, the different pastors and just the mayor and all them. He gathered them into a room, and he explained how the military was there to support, to keep them safe from these guerrilla fighters. And so he was saying how benevolent they were and all that. And so as soon as he was finished speaking, Father Stanley put his hand up and he said, "Well, if that's the case, why are more people disappearing now that you are here? Why are our people more scared that you are here?" And so he challenged the military, this leader, because it's true. As soon as they showed up, people started disappearing en masse. And Father Stanley pointed it out that when the military men are standing around, people start disappearing. And why is that? So he was not afraid to stand up and challenge the forces at B. And so the other leaders, though, he saw a different thing. The other leaders of the town kind of kowtowed to the military, saying how great they were and how wonderful it was that they were there out of fear for their lives. But Father Stanley stood for the truth, even though he knew in making that statement and challenging the authority, he was risking his own life. And then other leaders had the option of fleeing the country and getting away from the violence. But again, Father Stanley didn't want to do that because he knew his people needed him. He wrote in a letter, "At the first sign of danger, the shepherd can't run and leave the sheep to fend for themselves. I heard about a group of nuns in Nicaragua that left during the fighting and later wanted to go back. The people asked them, 'Where were you when we needed you?' The nuns couldn't stay and were forced to leave. I don't want it to happen to me." And then he said another time, again, "The shepherd cannot run at the first sign of danger. Pray for us, that we may be a sign of love, the sign of the love of Christ for our people, that our presence among them will fortify them to endure these sufferings in preparation for the coming of the kingdom." So he was devoted. However, when he was found to be on a death list, when he knew his death was imminent, he did leave the country. He did come back to Oklahoma to take some time to think about it. But he came back and was almost instantly resolved that he had to return, that those people did need him. He couldn't flee at the sign of danger and let them defend for themselves. And so he did. He returned to face whatever would come. Another thing we learn, I think, from Father Stanley is selflessness. In our society, there tend to be a heavy emphasis on the me, on what I want, and I'll do my thing, and then I get my free time. But Father Stanley lived completely selflessly. He spent his entire days helping people. He'd help widows and children when their fathers disappeared. He would go around and teach people better farming tactics. He'd visit the sick. He'd teach parents how to give their kids clean water. And he was constantly doing everything he could to help his parish. So he lived completely selflessly. And even in danger, he didn't think about his own life, but he thought about those, the people that he served. And so he went to Oklahoma, but he came back. And he was martyred. He lives now as a martyr for the faith. He was beatified, which is the church saying that this man, his life is worth imitating, and that he lives now in the kingdom of heaven to intercede for us. Which is pretty amazing when I think about it. When our youth were there and I was with the near 20,000 people celebrating the beatification of Father Stanley Rother, it occurred to me that we are celebrating the greatest thing you can celebrate. That is the goal of our life, is to get to heaven and to be, an instrument of God's love in this world. And Father Stanley did that. And we were celebrating that. Like, weddings are great, ordinations are great, anniversaries are great, but the celebration of a person who has made it to heaven and lived his life completely as a witness to Christ, that is an amazing thing to celebrate. And it was super joyful to be there with all these people celebrating this man, one of our own, a man from Oklahoma, who was able to achieve the greatest of things. And so it was truly inspiring. Again, St. Paul, in our second reading today, ends with, conduct yourselves in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ. And Blessed Stanley Rother did that to an extraordinary degree. And us, we can follow his example and do likewise.